Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com. You press your luck up against this body. Now you're stuck, but you lie down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio. As always, I'm your host, Dirt. And you can stop at the email, stop sending me the text messages. I know. Here's your show. Should have done this yesterday morning. Short answer, I was sick. Basically, I was running an under fever. I was running in the 95, 96 degree range instead of up in the, 98 99 range where temperature usually is, and you can probably hear I've got a little bit of sinus congestion, a little bit of clogging in my throat. So basically what happened is I woke up, watched SmackDown, and then I ended up taking a nap. And then I woke up, felt good, went to work, and as I was sitting at work last night, I thought, oh crap, I watched SmackDown this morning, never did the podcast. So figured at that point in time, SmackDown was going to be on soon anyway. You'd just watch it. We'd talk a little bit about it today, but for the most part, didn't seem like much of a reason to rush to get that out there. And besides, there's kind of something else I want to bring up, but we will do that at the end. But for now, we'll do a recap of SmackDown here. And one thing I did notice, I've noticed this for several weeks now, or at least several shows, since there's four shows a week. I don't know exactly how long it's been going on. It seems like it's been going on for a long time because I've heard it a lot. But I noticed Ted DiBiase, Every Man Has a Price, is appearing now in the WWE intro. And it, you know, I never heard that in there until, you know, recently. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And I heard it several times. And it wasn't until today that I finally realized why it was in there. Because as I was listening, you know, they run that promo where they're showing that old, you know, black and white footage from like 1908 or whatever with that wrestling match. And then they start doing all the catchphrases from over the years. And they get to this point and you hear Every Man Has a Price. And as I hear that, I suddenly realize that that is the same spot where it used to go Hulkamania's Running Wild. So with Hulk Hogan now on TNA, in the enemy camp, so to speak, they have removed him from their intro and put Ted DiBiase there. So good for Ted. Ted DiBiase, senior, great man, terrific human being. So glad that he's on there and he's going to be a voice there for everybody to listen to. SmackDown opened up with a recap of last week's Beat the Clock Challenge. Showed clips from throughout the night. They had Batista come out. Batista came out on stage wearing a shirt that was three sizes too small. It was so tight, and he had the collar flipped up, and it looked like the collar was flipped up, trying to look like a cocky heel, but also because the shirt was so tight, if the collar was down, it probably would have been like a midget strangling him throughout the course of the night. So had this skin-tight shirt on. He told them to cut the music, give him a spotlight. They shut off basically, the entire entryway, except for his video on the screen, put spotlights on him, turned his music back on, he walked down to the ring. He basically said he doesn't care if the fans boo him. He's sick of Teddy Long screwing him out of title shots. He's happy that Vicky was trying to make things right. He wanted Teddy Long to come out here and explain why he's being treated so poorly, or he's going to leave. Instead, Rey Mysterio comes out, and he said, basically, Dave has been blinded by his own selfishness, his greed. He said that last week was payback because Batista had interfered in his title shot 2 weeks ago. So he interfered in Batista's chance to be a number one contender. And he started to ask Dave if he was scared. Are you scared of me? So basically, you know, David versus Goliath, which of course you're going to get with Rey and Batista, but I think they did a really good job of Rey coming off as, you know, pretty cocky, pretty sure of himself, you know, considering everything that goes on. And Batista started to freak out and froth and said he was going to beat Rey tonight so badly he wouldn't be able to walk out of the arena. So, nice little opening promo there, and it did a pretty good job of staying on point. It didn't feel like it was overtly long, like a lot of promos do nowadays. So all in all, I was pretty happy with the opening segment. They had Dolph Ziggler versus Kane in a rematch from last week. Last week they did the Beat the Clock Challenge, and Ziggler had Kane in a sleeper hold. Kane could not break out of it, but Ziggler could not get Kane to submit or pass out before the time expired. So then afterwards, Ziggler hit Kane with the zigzag, and Kane was upset. So this is the rematch. This is Kane's opportunity to get back at him. So they let Ziggler go toe-to-toe with Kane throughout this match. You know, it was actually pretty entertaining, actually. I enjoyed it, but, you know, I'm a Ziggler fan. But they did this neat little spot where Ziggler had the sleeper on Kane, and Kane tried to get Ziggler off his back and fell through the ropes to the outside, and Ziggler remained locked in the sleeper, falling to the outside, which was a pretty neat spot as far as I'm concerned. And then as they were outside, Kane is, you know, getting woozy, and the ref is counting, and the ref hits 8. Ziggler let go of the sleeper, jumps in the ring. Kane is not able to make it back in time, so Dolph Ziggler wins by count out. This is kind of similar to when Dolph Ziggler was wrestling Great Khali. Doing this type of stuff in order to get wins over Great Khali made for a fun little feud, and it basically set him up for the push for the Intercontinental title, which Rey Mysterio you know, complained he didn't want to lose the title, and so Ziggler got screwed out of. So I don't know if they're using Kane in place of Great Khali and doing the same thing again this time. It worked last time. The only thing that really killed it was, of course, the fact that Rey Mysterio didn't want to lose the title, and then ended up going down with the you know, the drug suspension, which led to Morrison, which led to McIntyre, and all of that. So it looks like they're doing something similar this time to elevate Ziggler again, which I'm fine with. Backstage, we had Michelle McCool and Layla looking hot, and they were apologizing to Beth Phoenix for everything that happened last week. They said they were going to have a trough full of lettuce that said Piggy James on it. They were going to show it to Mickie James to get Mickie James mad. And Beth Phoenix said, you know, you guys are unbelievable, and Layla has a match with me tonight, so she should be getting ready for the match and getting serious. And you could tell that the two of them realized that their ploy to make Beth Phoenix their friend here backfired, because Michelle McCool had accidentally kicked Beth Phoenix in the face during her match last week trying to get Mickie James, and so Layla looked like she was scared here, which would carry through to their match later on. They had Jericho talking to the Hart Dynasty. They basically talked to, you know, Hart Dynasty talking crap about Bret Hart, talking about the Hart family, saying that these new generation of wrestlers are better than any of those old guys. And basically, they were getting ready to have a 6-man tag match, and Jericho looked happy with his team. We had R-Truth and Crime Time versus Jericho and the Hart Dynasty. So this is going to lead to a Jericho-R-Truth feud. I'm perfectly happy with that. I'll watch the heck out of that feud. They had a fine little, you know, back-and-forth match. Tyson Kidd looked pretty good here. They definitely let him get a lot of stuff in here tonight to kind of show him off a little bit. There's been some talk about, you know, Tyson Kidd is a good wrestler, but he's kind of small, and Vince, you know, hates the small guys, hates, you know, the Rey Mysterios and whatnots of the world. So I think what they were trying to do was kind of give a little bit of that shine to Tyson Kidd, let him show off a little bit and get in front of the crowd, because seriously, even if he's a heel, the fans can make it clear that they still support the guy and they still like the guy, even, you know, if he's a heel. And that's going to go into kind of your merchandising and your signs and, feedback. I mean, people send emails. You got to understand, WWE actually gets thousands of emails every week from fans who say, I know this guy's a bad guy, but I really like him. I think he's a great wrestler, etc. And WWE actually pays attention to that stuff. I know a lot of times people think, oh, it's only those silly, crazy types that send in emails. But really, a lot of them are kids, teenagers, James in Kentucky, whoever. And for WWE, they really listen to that feedback. And Tyson Kidd, actually gets a fair amount of positive feedback from people. They also do surveys. If you spend some time on WWE.com, if you're part of that WWEUniverse.com, whatever, you'll get surveys that pop up from time to time. So, they know that there's positive feedback on Tyson Kidd, but Vince apparently still doesn't like him because he's tiny. You know, he gives him credit, but Vince doesn't take anybody, doesn't give them any credibility unless they're, Chris Masters on steroids. So, anyway. Nice match. Jericho ended up getting JTG in a Walls of Jericho and ended up getting the submission there for his team. So at least a win for Jericho. That's something he really needed. CM Punk and Luke Gallows came out. They came out to save a member of the WWE Universe. They pulled a guy out of the crowd. They asked him if he had demons he was trying to get rid of, and the guy said, I'm going to try to quit smoking. And CM Punk started to snap on him, said, no, you don't try, you do it. He made the guy pledge that he was going to quit smoking. It got pretty intense. It was actually very interesting to watch. It was a good promo with an obvious mark from the crowd. A plant, not a mark. Wrong insider term there. Sorry, guys. He said now he had to prove his ultimate loyalty or something along those lines, and he pulled out hair clippers because this guy had this ridiculous haircut. Obviously growing it out for this segment. They've been doing it for, a month or so. So this guy had this crazy-looking haircut, and he tried to back out of it and leave, and they forced him to sit down, and they shaved his head, and it was pretty bad haircut. It looked like what Kane's hair looked like after he took off the mask that had the wig attached, and he had that little circle of hair in the back. That was buzzed down. Kind of looked like that when he was all done with it. And, looked as good as it did on Britney Spears, I'll say that much. So anyway, Matt Hardy had a match with Luke Gallows, and two of them had a fine little back and forth. What ended up happening was Gallows ended up getting a big boot on Hardy as Punk had distracted Hardy, and Gallows hit what's called the 12th step and got the pin. So, nice little match there. Nothing incredibly special, but made Luke Gallows at least look competent, which he didn't really look like as fake Kane, and looked a little bit better as Festus, but looked good here. They showed Teddy Long in the back with Maria. They were talking about her being on Celebrity Apprentice, and Vicky Guerrero came in, gave Maria a hug, said that she reminds her of a young Vicky, and said, here are some new WWE toys, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? So Maria did her little sales pitch, and in comes a great Khali, and Khali says something in Khalese, and Rajan Singh translates it and says, basically, he can't wait to collect all of them, and he's really looking forward to getting the Vicky Guerrero figure, and Vicky's all like, oh, thank you. And he says, Khali can't wait to see it because Vicky reminds him of a cow. And Khali bends down, gets right in Vicky's face, and goes, moo. And, of all the stupid, retarded things, I lost it with that. That was great. That was one of those things. I need to make that my ringtone or something. They did Michelle McCool. I'm sorry, not Michelle. Michelle McCool came down with Layla. They had Layla versus Beth Phoenix. And Layla looked so good here tonight. But anyway, a married man. What? I didn't say anything. They had a fun little match. I mean, there was nothing, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to it other than basically Layla just kept trying to get away. At one point, she goes to the outside and Michelle McCool, you know, picks her up and throws her back in trying to make friends with Beth Phoenix. Layla starts to fight back a little bit, but eventually, Beth Phoenix hits the glam slam and gets the pinfall. So Michelle McCool gets in the ring, and Beth, like, turns at her, like, what are you doing trying to sneak up on me? And she plays it off like, no, I'm just trying to get to Layla. And Layla grabs Beth, and so Michelle McCool then attacks, and so it's 2-on-1 versus Beth, and out comes Mickey James. They fight each other off, and then Beth and Mickey look eye to eye, and they kind of like face off a little bit, but then they start to back off, and then suddenly Mickey James hits a kick, big kick on Beth Phoenix, knocks her down, lays her out, and you know, all in all, this whole the match, the beatdown, Mickey James running in, Mickey James getting over on Beth Phoenix, I thought this whole segment was good, you know. The women's matches in WWE are usually not anything spectacular, and this was not a great match by any stretch of the imagination, but it told a good story. It furthered, you know, the whole storyline with all these characters. As stupid as the whole Piggy James thing is to begin with, they really did a good job putting all this stuff together, and it really added, like, you're starting to see, of course, that Beth Phoenix face turn. But you're really starting to see the relationship between Mickey James and Beth Phoenix, you know, take form here. They're becoming rivals in the sense, not so much that you know, they dislike each other as much as they're just trying to outdo each other, which is always a fun thing to do, especially when you're turning someone from heel to a face. And so I think all in all, it really worked well. It did a good job, and I was really happy with the whole segment. Backstage, Drew McIntyre was cutting a promo with Josh Matthews. He was talking about how he beat up John Morrison and how he won, and he didn't care if people thought he had cheated or whatever. And John Morrison came in and got in his face and you know, tried to egg him on to get a fight. And McIntyre said, "You know what? I don't care about you anymore. I'm moving on to bigger and better things. I've left you behind. You're not going to you know, get me to fight." And John Morrison said, "Well, this is getting boring, and if you're not going to lose your temper, well, you know, it's got to be one of us," or something like that. And then he just slapped Drew McIntyre across the face as hard as he possibly could, which actually came across pretty well. And the two of them had a brawl and a pull apart, goes to commercial. So, again, nice little segment. One problem I have with Morrison is when he tries to get too intense and he starts doing the whole getting in his face and breathing heavy type of thing. It doesn't work for me that well. I just don't think he's, you know, got the acting chops he really needs to pull off some of that stuff, you know, but whatever. All in all, I was happy with the segment. Then our main event for the night, Rey Mysterio versus Batista. For the, basically the number one contendership to face, Undertaker at the Royal Rumble for the World Heavyweight Championship. The two of them had a fine match. Nothing really, I don't think anything really to, complain about as far as the match goes. Everything on it was fine. Moves were solid. The storyline was okay. The only problem was towards the end. It looked like, Rey was actually going to, get over on Batista. He hit a big DDT on Batista. He hit a drop kick. It looked like he was getting ready to go for the 619, and he's going kind of slow. You know, he's kind of knocked out, whatever. And then suddenly the lights go out, and you hear three gongs from the Undertaker, and the lights come back up, and both guys are laid out. And they're both kind of laying there, like, you know, they've both been knocked in the head. And Undertaker's music hits and his entrance theme hits and the pyro starts going off and the gongs are going off and the show ended. Credits roll. The end. So, you know, commentary is, of course, right before they go away. It's like, oh, this is the Undertaker's presence has been felt. You know, he made it clear to these guys he doesn't like them, blah, 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 whatever. But you never saw the Undertaker. You know, it was just, I don't know if Undertaker wasn't in the building. I don't know if he came out after the show went off the air and they did some kind of bonus triple threat match, what the deal is. I'm guessing they're setting up a triple threat for the Royal Rumble because... you know, they don't have faith in Rey Mysterio, which they proved when he won the Rumble, you know, what was it, 3-4 years ago, and made it to WrestleMania and won the title. Vince totally does not believe in Rey Mysterio, so I'm guessing it's a three-way at the Rumble is, you know, what they're doing. That seems to be the most obvious direction with everything that's happening here, but... So there's your SmackDown. You know, the ending kind of killed the match, but... Other than that, I thought it was pretty good altogether. But one thing I wanted to talk about, now that we've wrapped up SmackDown, and hopefully you guys saw it. Stop skipping SmackDown. I've heard people say, oh, I don't watch it because I just listen to your podcast. I'll stop doing the podcast if that's what's going to happen, because you guys need to be watching SmackDown. But regardless... One thing I wanted to talk about was with the resurgence of the so-called Monday Night Wars, TNA versus WWE, one thing that keeps coming up time and time again, people are talking about, well, you know, WWE sucks because they've gone in this whole PG-13 mode. They're doing the shows for the kids, and that's why no one's watching anymore, and hopefully TNA will make them step up their game. When I hear stuff like that, I kind of, like something to me, whenever I heard that argument, it always rang hollow. Like, there was something wrong with that argument that I just couldn't place my finger on. And it's starting to kind of ferment in my head. And what's really coming to my mind is when I hear someone say that, I kind of get this feeling like, there's a bigger picture going on here that a lot of people don't seem to understand. For the last, I don't know, couple weeks, we've been watching a lot of wrestling at work, stuff from 96, 97, 98. And what really stuck in my mind is the fact that if you look at WWE in the early to mid-90s, it was very stale. Basically, the same thing people said had been going on in WWE for the last couple years is what was happening then. It was very kid-friendly. There was a lot of goofy gimmick stuff. And then at some point, you know, ECW took off, hardcore took off. They realized that a lot of kids who had grown up in the early 80s with all this stuff were now getting older. And so they hit the Attitude Era and, you know, slingshotted, as you will. And I began to realize that there are a lot of parallels for what happened in the history of WWE with what's going on now. And I think there's a pretty fair argument to be made that once you hit a certain point, WWE hit a point with the Attitude Era, that it was so big, there was so much stuff going on, they had so much attention with The Rock and Stone Cold and Mick Foley and... Triple H, Kurt Angle, you know, they had so much stuff going on, Attitude Era into the early 2000s, that it was so big it had to come down. And there's a lot of blame with the death of WCW and, Invasion and et cetera, et cetera. But really, regardless of what WWE did, it was not going to continue at that level. And there are people that said, well, you know, Vince Russo left, and he actually has good ideas, but he needs someone to temper them, and that's what Vince was good at, and blah, 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 blah. But still, even then, I don't think there's any way WWE could have kept up at that same level. Because people do grow up, and they do get older, and they do move on to other things. You know, most writers of comic books will tell you that if you're going to write a comic, you have to write it as if your reader, at the most, has been reading for 4 years. That's the general rule of thumb. A lot of people say, well, I've been reading comics for a lot longer than 4 years. But for most of the comic readers out there, they kind of go in cycles where, you know, they get big into Punisher for a while, and then Wolverine, and then Batman, and then Superman, and they kind of move around from different characters and different books, and, you know, I like to read a lot of the independent stuff now, or I'm reading a lot of Dark Horse stuff now, I'm reading a lot of the Hellboy stuff now, and they kind of move around with their loyalties and what they really dig into. And with wrestling, I think you can kind of see that same thing where, you know, a lot of people watch wrestling, some people watch MMA, people who are football fans, baseball fans, they move around from one thing to another. Sometimes they grow up, they come back to it, sometimes they stick with it, but not with the same intensity as a fan that they once had, all of that kind of stuff. And with WWE taking on this more PG role, you know, the more kid-friendly, family-friendly stuff, really what they're doing is planting those seeds for the future. A lot of people right now who are, you know, what, 18 to 24, they're not really watching WWE in the same numbers that they used to, obviously. The people who were 18 to 24 who are watching all that stuff are now 24 to 32, you know. They're in a different age demographic. And what WWE, I think, is really trying to do now, you know, besides Linda McMahon trying to run for, you know, Senate and all that kind of stuff that goes along with all of that, I think they're really trying to make an investment here where they say, you know, John Cena can be the Hulk Hogan for the 12-year-olds. You know, we've seen that. People have complained about that. But once you begin to see that he's the Hulk Hogan of, you know, that generation, and all the stuff that they're doing there, then, you know, that's where their focus is, and you're going to see about 4 or 5 years altogether. If you want to go back and say, you know, it's been maybe 2 years, you got about 2 or 3 more years of this, and then it's going to start to darken a little bit, it's going to shift a little bit, you're going to have, you know, 2 or 3 years of kind of a transitional period, then you're going to have 3 years of this is for 18 to 21-year-olds. Then it's going to start to mature a little bit and kind of glamorize, and then it's going to go back to the kids. I think they've began to realize the cycle. They're starting to hit on it. They're going to pick up kids as fans now, as little kids, basically. They're going to start making fans out of them. And then every few years, they're going to kind of refocus, rechannel their energy, and get them back at these different stages. And, you know, it's as far as a business goes, I think it's a really wise move. Because if you look at the big picture, the big scheme of things, the 18 to 24s who aren't watching now, you know, they're a fickle audience anyway. Video games have taken off, internet's taken off, this, that, whatever. But the people in the, you know, honestly, the 28 to 34, or 26 to 34, whatever that demographic is that they usually break it down, those people are watching. Those are also people who buy a lot of pay-per-views. So those people are in a different category than those 18 to 24s. And so I think it's pretty fair to say that WWE is planning something here. They are, at this point, they're hitting on something different than what a lot of people are expecting. Right now, if you're 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, you're probably, you probably think this is the worst that WWE has ever been. Trust me, it's not. Go back and watch WWE 93, 94. This is 10 times better than that ever was. Seriously. But I, you know, I think it's really a good way to look at things if you want to look at some of that long-term stuff. It makes sense. It really does. And one thing also to keep in mind is that while you may say, well, WWE's only doing, you know, 3 sixes, or they used to do sevens, you know, and eights on Monday night, all of TV is down. You know, right now, USA Network is considered the jewel in the crown of NBC Universal. It's better than the network. And so, you know, when your ad-supported cable is better than your broadcast network in as far as ratings and keeping people around. And the crown jewel of your crown jewel station is your live wrestling show. That says a lot for Monday Night Raw. So when people talk about the Monday Night Wars and this and that and whatever, there's a lot more going on, I think, than people realize when they're just talking about in terms of TNA versus WWE. There's a lot more going on with TV and watching trends, history, branding and merchandising, and where people are at in their lives now versus where they're going to be in 5 to 10 years, which makes a big difference on how you run a billion-dollar company, as opposed to what you'd consider running a wrestling promotion, so to speak. You're not going to cater to that hot demographic fan base and figure, well, in 4 years, they've moved on, and we're not going to get them back. We're just going to cater to the next group of 18 to 24-year-olds. They're going to do things a little differently in the hopes of bringing people around long-term because, I grew up watching wrestling in a household that hated sports simply because I was caught up in the Hulk Hogan thing, which turned into, a long appreciation for wrestling as far as I'm concerned. And I'm at the point now where they've softened the show enough, I can sit down with my 4-year-old, who's going to turn 5 at the end of January, and we can watch, first hour of Raw, first hour of SmackDown before his bedtime, and it's fine for him. He can watch it. You don't have to worry about sexual innuendo. You don't have to worry about blood. You don't have to worry about words getting bleeped out, things like that. That really fits him well. And in 4 or 5 years, he's going to lose a little bit of interest on it. And he's going to come back to it. Just because I'm going to keep watching as I get older. Because I'm locked in at this point. But that's something that, he's going to come back to, and then he's going to go into high school and have his friends and do his own thing, go into college, and then he's going to come back to it. It's just one of those things. It's going to be cycles. That's really what WWE is banking on. And as long as Vince doesn't have a heart attack and Stephanie takes the company in a completely different direction in the next 2 years, that's really what I think they're doing, and I think you can see that trend in what they've done over the last decade. So, all right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. I want to hear your thoughts on that, though. Agree, disagree. Am I crazy? Is it because of my illness that I'm thinking this? And if I had, clear head right now, I wouldn't be thinking that. Is that, maybe. Give me a call. Area code 217-953-4025. It's going to say it's a That New Toy Smell voicemail. We set that up a while ago to say That New Toy Smell. I just haven't gotten around to changing it. But leave me a voicemail. Area code 217-953-4025. Stop by our message boards at VGLosers.com. Send me an email, dirt@dirtmound.com. Whatever, let me know what you think, and we'll use some of your comments on the next show if we get any that aren't stupid. Anyway, thanks guys for listening, and we'll talk to you later. There's no one like you. I can't wait for the night with you. I imagine the things we do.
Can you write all this?
I just want to be loved by
you.
Come, British.